It's a new season.
Thank you for joining us for the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. And remember, if you are ever in our area, please stop by. We'll make you feel right at home. Now, let's join Pastor George Logan for today's message.
But often, what would be that word? Soul. Anyone use that word this past week? Soul? Yes, yeah, so I have. I've used it a few times myself. Well, today we're going to talk about another two-letter word that I hope you'll use throughout the course of 2024. And that I believe will be just as impactful as the word soul. You know, soul has to do with things that the enemy oftentimes will bring up about our past. And so it's oriented towards the past. So we're saying soul to things that the enemy might try to use to kind of get us off. And so as we close out 2023, I thought it was fitting to have a word that would kind of close it out for us. So what if you didn't get all the things done that you thought you were going to get done? So what if you made some bad decisions? So what if things are different than what you had expected them to be? So this year, I'm going to give you another word to use throughout the entirety of your year, and hopefully you'll use it a lot. It's another two-letter word. Anyone want to take a guess at what that two-letter word is? If, okay. If someone said if, can I get something else? Who said no? Go? No? To? Do. All right, so let me just guess. How many of you believe it's if? Well, you said it. You're responsible for that. How many of you believe it's do? Okay. Okay, good. How many of you believe it's go? All right, go. Anyone else for go? Go. All right, go. Going once, going twice. What was another one? No. How many of you believe it's no? No. No. You voted twice? You voted twice. All right, so the word that I want to engraft into your soul today is no. No. Everyone say no.
No.
No. A powerful word. Powerful word. And so we want to talk today about the power of no. The power of no. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 39. And verse 1. And as you're turning, I'm going to give you a few definitions of no. As I picked it up on the computer, it lists it as a negative. I don't consider it, in this case, a negative. But it means no. No means not any or not at all. It can also be used to express a negative response, such as dissent, denial, or refusal. For example, you might say no in response to a question or a request. I love the word refusal, and I love the word denial as it expresses no. Refusal and denial. Also, a few synonyms for no is absolutely not, by no means, never, no way, not at all, and not by any means. So when we look at this word no, and hopefully the Holy Spirit, I believe, will give you a revelation of the word no today. That you'll be using no so often throughout this next week, throughout this next year, that it'll be one of your best friends, the word no. So Genesis chapter 39. And we're going to read, starting with verse 1. And many of you are very familiar with this. If you've been around and have read your Bibles and have been around church for any time, you know the story of Joseph. And so here we have a story of Joseph. It says, verse 1, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. "Come and sleep with me," she demanded. But Joseph refused. But Joseph did what? He refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused. Everyone say he refused. Or he said no to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he went to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, "Come on, sleep with me." And Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. And so I want to stop right there, and I'll tell you the end of the story. She falsely accuses him. And remember last week we talked about the accuser of the brethren? And so that's kind of how the enemy operates in this. He accused Joseph of trying to attempt to sleep with her. And the Potiphar, he either believed it or he was all enraged about his wife and her lustful desires that he said, "You know what, I got to get rid of you. I know it might be the wife, but I got to get rid of you. Because I cannot, I'm upset that you're so attracted or he's attracted to you." And so Joseph ends up having to leave, getting put into prison. And we know the rest of the story. He ends up ruling and being the governor over all of Egypt because he said no. He refused to sleep with this woman. They're all by himself, no one else in the house. She's putting constant pressure on this man. And yet every single time he responded with an emphatic no. To the very end, he ran from her, understanding that it doesn't matter how it looks, long as God has got me. It doesn't matter. Long as I honor God, I'm going to be all right. And so him saying no, I believe, launched him into his future. Had he not said no, we probably would never know who Joseph is. Probably wouldn't. It would just be one of the children of Israel. But we wouldn't really know who he is, apart from him saying no. His story could have gone a lot different. His ability to affect the lives of so many other people could have been so much different. To the point where he esteemed or managed to get, by the grace of God, to the very top. Like we could call it the vice president, as it were, but with more power. He was the man. So much so that he ruled all of Israel, of Egypt. But it all came down to one concise, precise no, refusal, denial. Like, I'm not going to do it, no matter what. I'm not going to do it. So I want to look at a few other scriptures here, and then I want to give you several things to think about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? How many realize every one of us are running right now? Some of us may be running a little faster than others. Some of us may be at a slow, casual jog. But all of us are running. All of us are in a race, as it were. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we, and then what they were talking about here were, if you can imagine this, were celery leaves. That's what they were racing for. Obviously, there was more esteem to it than just the celery leaves, but that's what the esteem of having that celery leaf around your head, knowing that you beat everyone, the crown. So it says, don't you realize that in a race everybody's running, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step, in every step. In other words, I wake up in the morning. I go through the day considering what? Considering this race I am in. Never losing sight of this race. I'm in a race, man. I'm here to do something. You're here to do something. We got purpose to our life. We can't just hang out and do nothing. Every day has a purpose. Every step should be done with a conscious thought. How will this affect my life and the people that will see me? In other words, George Logan can't go to the grocery store with pajamas on. I got to consider that. Not if you go, I'm not putting down on people, but I got an image of a leader that I must. And y'all come in there, see me in some pajamas at Walmart, that ain't going to fly well. Y'all going to lose respect for my leadership. So I'm thinking about that. I can't cuss out everybody. I can't get overly upset at a game or something and start ranting and raving and cussing and fighting and all that stuff. And y'all see me up in the stage fighting someone. And it's not going to go over well, is it? I think any of the pastor of, isn't that the pastor of New Day Christian Church? I can't hang out uptown at the clubs, at the bar. Not that I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying there is or is not. I'm just saying I can't hang. I might get a meal in a bar, but I ain't up there sucking down a lot of suds. You know what I'm saying? How come? Because I've got an image. The Bible says all things are what? All things are free. I can do whatever, but not all things are profitable, expedient. I'm thinking about the expediency of what I do. I'm thinking about that. Now, maybe I'll go somewhere where nobody knows me. Problem is, someone will know you in places you don't even think they are. Kim and I were down in Virginia Beach yesterday. We had to take our son back to school. And there was a pastor there that I told my wife, I said, I know that guy. We were in a restaurant in Virginia Beach. I hadn't seen this guy in years. And he came in and he walked through. I said, I think I know him. And Kim said, you think you know everybody. That's what she said. You think you know everybody passed by. You think you know that person. The reason I think I know people and she does is because she ain't really looking at nobody. I'm looking to see if I know them. You know, our bent is different. So I see him, and so, you know, the power of the phone is that you can look him up, right? So I looked up. It was a pastor, and I looked up, is that him? And I saw the man's wife came in with him. I looked at the two pictures, and I looked down, and I saw him, and I saw the woman that came with him looked like the same woman on the picture. I said, that's him. And so I did the next thing that my wife don't like me to do. I made my way over there to her. So he's eating. We got a full plate. Him and his wife got the full plate. I said, excuse me, but I think I know you. And sure enough, he was who I thought he was. In a restaurant, on a street, in Virginia Beach, and I run into him. What have you been acting up? Not thinking anybody knew him. What if he'd been acting up? What if he'd been just acting crazy, cussing out the waitress? And I'd been like, I think I know him, but man, he's acting, you know, not so good. So everything we do, even in this year, even as we go through this fast, and I'll get to that a little later, but we're going through a 21-day fast. But don't make it about what you're not going to eat, sweets and meats. Make it about what you're going to receive. Make it about what you're going to get out of refusal. Not, oh, God, I'm just famished. Lord, girl, I don't know. My blood pressure, everything's going. I just don't know what's going on. I got to get something in me. No, don't make it about that. Make it about what you're going to get. You're going to get something out of this through the power of no. All right, so let me finish this out. So it says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. In other words, there's something I'm trying to hit. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I'm doing this so that the kinks in my armor, the areas that I'm exposed to, that there'll be no places in me, no places for a hook to get in me. Where my indulgences are, that it won't catch up with me. I won't be the story in the community about what I did or about what I said or about who I did something with. Because I keep under my body and bring my body in subjection. Lest that by any means when I preach to someone else or others, I myself should be over there on the side. Not telling what is truthful, but disqualified by the background of my life. We just, and maybe we can get another background up here, because that was really pretty. Maybe we can do it. I think they make other ones, don't they? Maybe they can make, in the springtime, we can make a springtime picture. You know, fall, we can put some trees and, you know, but we can create a background. Well, guess what? Your life, your yeses and your noes create the backgrounds of your life. So we're sitting there talking, but what people are seeing is the background. There's a reason we put up backgrounds, right? Because the backgrounds pushes forward the foreground. Right? Did that sound right? Yeah. I mean, otherwise, what's the purpose of a background? Why don't we just take pictures without a background? When we get on top of a mountain, what do? We pull out the, and we like, to take a picture to show the surrounding and ourselves in it. Where our lives are the background. Our lives are the background. Our decisions, our no's create the background of my life. We're celebrating 30 years this year. 30 years. I dare say that if 10 years, a decade into it, had some stuff in the background came up, had some stuff rolled in here, and I'm up here talking, and we wouldn't make it to 30 years. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the grace of God. I'm here because of his grace. Boy, you don't know how many times I've had to say no. Boy, sit back. Get down in your seat. Sit down here. Get yourself back over here. God is not going to keep under my body. I have to keep under my body by his grace. I wish he would. I wish it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if he would just come in and just strap us down at times? Take our mouth and put some glue on it for us? Or be there an invisible hand that goes. You don't know what I said. I may have cussed somebody out, right? Listen. No. Everybody say no. No. Say no. No. I don't want to be disqualified. Romans 8, verse 12. Look at that real quickly. Romans 8. So said, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, have you no obligation to do what is sinful nature? You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death, who's going to put to death? The power of the Spirit. I need that power of the Spirit. Now, notice it says here, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation. You don't have an obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. How many of you, if someone came on your job who was not your superintendent, who was not or supervisor or boss or person in charge of you, if they came up to you and said, I need you to go over there and do that, I mean, what you going to do? I know some of y'all be like, what? Who are you talking to? Hey, who are you? I have no obligation to do what you tell me to do. Right? Some of you wish you could do that right now. Some of y'all wish you could just go off on the job. Like, hey, tell me. But they happen to be able to fire you if you do that. But listen to what I'm saying. We have no obligation to this. To this right here, this soul. We have no obligation to and the thing about it is, let me tell you something. No does not mean that there's nothing there. As a matter of fact, some of you all need to leave your candy on the table. Just leave, not all of it. Leave some of that candy, leave some of that stuff so that you can see it and still say no. There's nothing so powerful if there's nothing that you're being powerful over. If there's no temptation, you're not really being powerful. If you get rid of everything, and you can, I mean, if that's going to help you, that'd be fine. But leave something out there where you can say no. Leave something out there where you walk by and say no. After a while, you'll find that its control of you is not there anymore. There's a restaurant Kim and I were just talking about that we used to go to. It's kind of a fast food restaurant. But both of us, when we saw this fast food restaurant, not Uncle E's, so don't get me wrong, it's not. But when we see it now, if something in us says, nah. And it used to be we would see it and start thinking about the fries or the sandwich, and we'd think about it, and next thing you know, we're in the line. But now there's no draw to it. Something has changed up here. Our desire has changed. It's not a temptation anymore to us. How come? Because something up here changed. I'm getting off subject here. Let me get back over here. Let me ask you this. How many of you, when you were growing up, remember this right here? My wife didn't think I remembered it. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onions on a sesame seed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I ain't had one in a lot of years. I hadn't had one. But boy, used to be, it was hard to go by that place. You got 21 days to leave it alone. So notice it says here, but if through the power of the Spirit, that's the key, but if through the power of the Spirit, verse 13, latter part of it, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. So it's talking about more than food here. What we're doing the next 21 days is just increasing our capacity to say no. That's all. It's just increase in all areas of our life, not just food. If you make it about food, then it's going to be about diet. Then it's going to be about losing weight. You may lose weight, but don't make it about what you're abstaining from. Make it about what I am increasing my capacity to do. It says, so the power of the Spirit to put to death. So the power of the Spirit gives us the ability to say no. So we're going to ask God today, Holy Spirit, help me to say what? Help me to say no. Help me to walk on by. Walk on by. Amen. So here's a couple of things I need you to understand. First of all, that we are defined in life by our no's. We're defined by our no's. As a matter of fact, I'll get to it. Well, let me just move my number six up to number one. No's are like this. Saying no allows our yes to live. It may require 10 no's to accomplish one yes. Think about that for a minute. It may require 10 no's, 25 no's, 100 no's to accomplish one yes. Throughout the day, how many times do we have to say no? No to staying in the bed too long. No to not wanting to read the Word of God. No to so many things, just accomplish one simple yes. But we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it by the power of the Spirit of God. He will help me do this. I can't do it on my own. I'm telling you, I can't do it on my own. But He will through me. Greater is He that lives in me than any evil. So I don't want you to leave here today feeling like, oh man, because that's not what church is for. Church is not to condemn you to the point where I can't do this. Church is to empower you. It's to leave you inspired that, hey, this is accomplishable by his grace, by his power. So, what does saying no do? Number one, saying no preserves our integrity and our destiny. Saying no preserves our integrity. It keeps us together. Integrity meaning keeping wholeness in our life. It keeps us together and it preserves our destiny. Every one of us have a destiny from God. Every one of us, not just me, but all of us have a destiny. There is a place God is trying to get us to. But we have to say yes to him and no to a whole lot of other things. Number two, it enables us to fulfill our purpose to others. It enables us to fulfill our purpose, not to ourselves. Sometimes I think we think purpose is all about ourselves. I'm trying to find my purpose. I'm trying to live out my purpose. I'm trying to... You live out your purpose by our purpose is for the purpose of someone else. It is to bless someone else. It is to be an instrument of blessing to someone else. So when I say no to things, I'm actually saying yes to someone. I'm saying yes. By fulfilling my purpose. Listen to this. Number three, keeps us moving forward. Listen to this. Keeps us moving forward even when it looks like we're going backward. No's keeps us moving forward when it looks like, man, I just told him no to this. I told him no to that. I told him no to this. And it feels like I'm not even moving. No, you are moving. You're moving at warp speed. Amen. Just by saying no to some things. Just by saying no, we're moving forward. And it may look crooked. I love this. There's a young man that played golf with us one time, Gary Carson. And I was playing with Carson and Gary and Eric. And Carson would say this. He would say, I'd hit a ball off the tee. That was when I was not a good golfer. I'm a good golfer now, so I don't make shots like that no more. But back in the day when I wasn't a good golfer, by faith, I'm a good golfer. I said, by faith, I'm a good golfer. It may not fully manifested yet, but by faith, I'm a really good golfer. But listen to me. He would, every shot, I don't care if it was in the woods, I don't care if it was in the water, he said, it went forward. I was like, yeah, I like that. It makes you change your thinking, doesn't it? You know, so we get upset that the ball didn't go where we wanted to go, but as long as it goes forward, that's getting you closer. So if you were 400 out and you dribbled one only 25 yards, at least you only have 375 to go now. Sometimes we have to, it may seem like we're going backwards. Doing the things right, doing things right may look like this seems like it's so slow, but it's fast. It's fast. When your straight line has been determined by your yes and your no's. Like I said no to this, and I'm moving forward. Listen to this, number four. Saying no equips us for the work ahead of us. See, a lot of things are left out there for us to do, but we're ill-equipped to do them because we have not had enough no's in our life. And in order for God to trust us with something, he's got to trust us to be able to say no. You know? You got to trust us to say if I can't trust you to say no, I can't put you out there. I can't give too much to you because you don't know how to say no. How many of you in this room right now have said yes to something and you, in your heart, you knew something was crawling, you knew wasn't supposed to, and then afterwards you realized why you should have said no? Yeah. Yeah. And some of us invited a whole lot of people to hear us say yes. But it got real quiet in here. Nobody in here, though. No, I'm just saying, nobody in this room right here. Nobody here, just somebody else. It was someone else. But once you say it, man, you're locked in. That's why you got to give every concern to my yes. That's why when we do premarital counseling, we take them through 6 weeks, man. 6 weeks of grueling into it and knowing history, knowing background, knowing this, knowing propensities, knowing different things so that when you say yes, boy, you saying it with your eyes wide open. And if we feel like in the midst of that premarital counseling, if I feel like, man, all I see here is no, 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 no. I like, well, you can get married, but it won't be by this George Logan right here. Because there's a responsibility. There's a responsibility. Don't get into some sensitive areas there. Just forgive me for that. Number five, builds character for bigger opportunities. It builds character for bigger opportunities in the future. And number six, I've already said, it allows our yes to be yes, to live. Now, I want to give you several, about 10, these are just one word things, 10 things that are suggestions, just suggestions as to what you can say no to by the power of the Spirit of God. Number one, say no to comparison. So as we're going through this, as we're learning how to say no to sugar and no to meats, that's just food, man. It's a good thing, and obviously I need to let go of some of that in these next upcoming weeks. But it's bigger than that, isn't it? The Bible says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him that defiles him. So one thing we want to say no to is, man, we're gonna not, by the power of the Spirit of God, we're going to not do any comparison. Hop in your car when you leave here and just drive home. Don't look at all the rest of the cars. I'm serious. Don't look. Let me get out before or after everybody leaves. Because I don't want nobody to see me moving out of there in this. No, it's your car. You got ability to go from point A to point B. It don't really matter. Don't compare. Don't compare what you got on or don't have on. And that takes a discipline given to you by the Spirit of God. Don't compare anything anymore. Say, God, help me not to compare anymore. So, that being said, say no to judgment. Say no to judgment. Judgment, judging yourself and judging other people. Just leave that out. Matter of fact, let me throw in number three along with it. Say no to being highly opinionated. So that done shut down 21 days of silence right there. 21 days of silence. Man, I can't be opinionated. Man, no. Listen, we are establishing yeses here. We're establishing ourselves in yes. Try it. Try not being so opinionated. First of all, you're going to hear things you ain't heard before because you're always butting in with your opinion. You know, like, I didn't know you moved. Yeah, because we've been thinking so much about our opinion, what we are thinking, that we don't have time for something else that someone else is saying. Even while they're talking to us, we're thinking about what we want to say. Let's back away from it. Let's just say no. 21 days of just keeping back those types of things. Number four. Let's help ourselves in this area of comparison by let's say no to excessive social media. I didn't say you couldn't get on there. I'm just saying excessive. And if you have, this is a place where you might want to put your phone somewhere. We're out of touch, turn the beeper off on it because that beeper is like this. And you can see them leave you. Like you're talking to them, they leave you like, beep, beep. Like you just left the room without leaving, without your body. You just left. No, why not put it to the side somewhere? Put it out of sight. And don't bring it around the table when we're eating. Put it away because it is a distraction. And here's the message that we're sending to the person that we're sitting with. We're telling them that you're not as important as this hello, how are you that just came on. You're not as important. Why not? Let's just put them to the side, put them in a box, do something with them so that time is valued. Like, I really want to hear what you got to say. I'm not so interested in this gadget that is pulling me away. Man, we got it bad. Matter of fact, a few years, doctors, we're going to have issues with necks being bent over like this. Yeah, it's a common disease these days, a common problem that people have a difficult time lifting their heads up. And many times, I'm messing right now. But a lot of times, ain't nobody on that daggone thing except we just don't want to engage the people around us. It's kind of like the comfort we give ourselves when we are in an elevator. So I'm supposed to be talking to Leslie, or Leslie's in the room, but I go like this because she thinks I'm solving the world's problems when I look down. Pastor must be, no, ain't nothing on here. What's the man who said, Mr. Rogers? He said this. He said, who's the most important person? He says, the one that's right in front of you. Not the one that's on the screen. If I'm talking to BJ here, he's the most important person at that very moment. He is the most important person because he's the person that's in front of me. If we really begin to value those things, saying no to a few more things, say no to gossip. There is no qualified gossip. Well, you know, this is qualified gossip because it's telling a truth really about something or someone. It's not qualified. That doesn't qualify gossip. Saying no to it, saying, I appreciate it, but, you know, I gotta go use the bathroom. Things that we can do to just get out of that place of gossip. Let me keep on going here. Listen to this. Say no to impurities. Say no to impurities. Say no to things. Listen, if you know you're watching a movie and you know that it's going to have something in there that's going to mess your mind up for 15 days, don't watch it. They let you know what's going to show up. There's going to be nudity and sexual content. Well, that should tell you something. Say no to impurities that will lodge themselves in your mind and will get you to thinking, am I really worthy of the call? Say no to too much sleep. And say no to too little sleep. This is good stuff here. Say no to too much sleep. Say no to too little sleep. They're both are needed and necessary. We need to sleep as much as we should sleep, and we need to get up when we need to get up. Balance. Can y'all stand up a couple more? Got a couple more right here that I think are really good. Say no to too much work and say no to too much play. There is a place where you can work too much. I know some of y'all just like, I don't understand that. Yeah. Well, if your wife is at home and she needs you to go to dinner with her and you keep on working over and over again and not spending any time with her, then you work too much. I done really done gone to meddling today, haven't I? Yeah, there's balance. There's balance. There's a yin and a yang. There's pleasure. There's pain. And we have to balance all of those out. And we do that when we're saying no. We're saying no these 21 days. We're saying no to something bigger than meats and sweets. We're saying no to all the things that can become indulgences of our life. A couple last things here. Say no to anger, bitterness, and strife. Say no to it. Some of you are going to be mellow in these next 21 days. You're just going to grow out mellow. Like, yo, whatever. It's cool. It's all right. What's the how? Yeah. Just cool. You know, sometimes I find myself getting in strife over stuff that is just stupid. Not with none of y'all, but with my wife. Like, this stupid arguments, just like I can't even think of them. It's just like, what are we arguing about? Just say no. She's going to be like, George, can you please pick up your shoes? Hey, babe. Go get my shoe. All right, here we go. Listen. I'm hoping that'll work for my wife too. Last one, number 10, say no to manipulation and control. Say no to it. Say no to being manipulated and controlled, and say no to you being a manipulator and a controller. If you can't get your kids to do what they want to do, don't try to force them. Don't try to force their hand. Don't try to talk bad to them. Don't try to say all these bad. Don't use emotions to get someone to do something. Withdraw from it. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Everybody say no.
No.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Say no.
No.
It'll save your life. Say no.
No.
Let's practice it. Let's practice it every day. It's something that I'm going to say purposely say no. I'm going to purposely say no. I'm going to purposely not get upset when I go to the grocery store. And they don't have what I want. I'm just purpose, you know, stuff like that. Because what we're doing is we're keeping the pleasures of our life from becoming overindulgences, to becoming addictions in our life. How many of you right now thinking about some chocolate? I mean, just amen. Thank you for your honesty, brother. Last few nights, man, I've been sucking on them little chocolate balls. Them little, oh my goodness. After eating, man, I start thinking about them. I start thinking about them, and I know it's taking me down the road somewhere. I must make a public confession this morning, if I may. And it involves someone in this room, if I may. I changed my doctor's appointment. I was supposed to have some blood work at the beginning of the month, and I said, no. I called him up and told him, can you do me at the end of the month? my heart is clear now. Did you get something out of this? Yeah. Just say no. Amen? It's leading us into our future. In so many areas, so many arenas, so many places where once we really honor that no, no's a beautiful word, no's a wonderful word. And no is done by the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. We're so grateful to be here. We're so grateful for your love and tender care over us. You love us so much to teach us, to show us the Word of God.
You've been listening to the Change Lives, Changing Lives radio broadcast, a ministry of New Day Christian Church. Please visit us at our website at www.newdaycc.com. Again, that's www.newdaycc.com. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please tell others. And if you ever get the opportunity, please come visit us at New Day Christian Church.